the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, salam, welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to join us and learn a little about jealousy in the view of Islam.
ما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد.
Today, Tuesday, is the 3rd of the month of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 18th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of November 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose chapter Yusuf to listen to, Verse 5.
قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين.
He said, O my son, do not relate your vision to your brothers, or they will contrive against you a plan. Indeed, Satan, to man, is a manifest enemy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Prophet Jesus, Hazrat Yusuf, peace be upon him, told his father his dream away from the presence of his brothers. The dream foretold that his son's prestige and position would be so elevated that the stars in the sky, the sun and the moon will bow to kiss his threshold. He will be so exalted in rank and position that celestial beings will be subservient to him. It was a fantastic, fabulous, and interesting dream. Therefore, with a mixed feeling of anxiety and happiness, he responded his son not to tell his brothers about his dream, for they would scheme dangerous stratagem against him.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this program that is about jealousy in the view of Islam. The blameworthy type of envy is an unrestricted dislike of the blessings bestowed upon the envied. Therefore, when one despises something, he is hurt and grieved by its very existence, and this becomes a sickness in his heart. To the extent that he derives pleasure from the removal of the blessings from the envied, even if this does not result in any benefit to him except having the pain that was in his soul removed. This pain is not removed except as a result of the envier continuously monitoring the envied so that he would find relief when the blessing is removed. But it can become more severe, as is the case of the one who is suffering from a physical sickness in that blessing, or one similar to it may return to the envied. The Prophet of Islam said, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul, none of you will believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-sain. One of the abominable characteristics, I mean moral characteristics, is jealousy. So we find that in this case, some sort of equilibrium can be achieved, okay? When someone finds out his own capabilities, assets, or other abilities, in contrast to those available elsewhere with other people. At times, we have received this news, I mean, in various forms, that someone who wasn't morally that much recipient of or worthy of being a recipient of certain graces, however, when a kind of grace has gone to him, this person has turned away from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's related that, I mean, it's indicated in historical sources, in, books on early Islamic history, that one of those people was always with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. went to the Prophet and asked for some financial help in order for his life to become better and better. Well, at first the Prophet didn't answer him positively, but later on when he insisted, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him some small financial help. And after that, this person, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the financial help of the Prophet Muhammad, this person little by little became a prominent person, I mean financially speaking. And then as this person was becoming little by little gradually a prominent person, he became less and less attendant to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came to the mosque in order to pray with the Prophet Muhammad quite less occasionally than before. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonished him and alerted him that, I mean, he wasn't, I mean, that much capable of retaining that grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam demanded the money back, I mean, wanted the money he had given this person back, again, little by little, because his financial situation was returning to the former state, this person started coming to the mosque more and more, and it became more and more attendant to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't know the reality. Perhaps if any extra help comes to us, and at that moment we might prove very much a dissident to the wills of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we may become very much oblivious of performing our religious tasks and religious obligations.
I've been waiting, I've been hurting, 'cause I've been falling, I need your help. My heart is breaking, so tired of crying, Lord, I'm calling, I need your help.
Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, on speaking about envy, it's good to look at the steps to overcoming envy too. Today's step is recognizing that the success of others does not take away from your own. Be happy for the success and happiness of others, and remind yourself it does not take anything away from you. You create your own path, and you are responsible for your successes and failures. There is more than enough to go around. You do not need to trample over others to get what you deserve. Other step to overcoming envy is learning from the envied. Don't hate, appreciate, and emulate. Learn from those you envy. You do not need to have all that they have, but maybe you can learn from them. If you envy a friend for their success or happiness, you can ask them their secret. This can deepen your friendship rather than drive the wedge of resentment and envy further. You can emulate some of the positive traits and apply them to your life. Now, effects, harmful effects of jealousy. What are they? Jealousy may distract emotion. Jealousy is one of the things that drove Satan away from Allah. It's a destructive emotion. jealousy has been recognized as a destructive emotion and one that should be kept under control or eliminated altogether. Nowadays, motivational and life coaches teach their students that jealousy can lead you away from your chosen path. We Muslims understand because we are faced with situations and circumstances that seem designed to turn us away from Allah and His commandments. Sometimes it is a battle we must do against Satan, but at other times it is our own ego that causes us to be jealous and thus forget our place in the world.
We have a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Allahumma salli alayhi. Rasulullah says, Rufi'a an ummati tis'. Nine things have been lifted from my ummah. They're not going to be held accountable for these. One of them is the jealousy that is not acted upon. If you are able to control yourself, if you are able to control your emotions, control your tongue, control your hands, control your desires, and don't reveal that jealousy. But it's very difficult. When someone has a feeling of jealousy, it comes out. You could tell through their tongue, through their actions, through anything that they say or they do. It's very easy. Because what the heart and the body, it reflects one another. The body and whatever you do with your actions, it reflects what's in your heart. So the one who is able to not reveal that feeling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold that person accountable. Now, what's halal? Halal is to wish to have that blessing that the other person has. If you see your brother, he has something. If you see he has something. If you see someone that has something and you say, I wish to have that as well, there's nothing wrong with that. It becomes haram. Jealousy is when you say, I don't want that person to have that. I wish that that person loses what they have. I wish that that person crashes their car. I wish that that person's house, something happens to it. That is jealousy. But to say, I wish to have a house just like this person, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's called ghibta. Ghibta, it's not haram. And the hadith says, Al-Mu'min, Imam Sadiq, he says, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ يَغْبِطْ وَلَا يَحْسَدْ. The mu'min, he has the ghibta. He wishes to have what other people have. But he does not say, I wish that they lose what they have. He does not wish harm for other people.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special, may Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
Thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a beautiful aphorism from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. Polytheism of certain people is more hidden than the creeping of ants on a black piece of cloth in a dark night. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's a very beautiful tradition from Imam Sajjad, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, that we would like to share with our dear listeners today. It's a very, you know, poignant, profound tradition from the Imam alayhi salam, that the Imam alayhi salam, you know, was the instant of both of these. And the Imam alayhi salam in this tradition speaks about two drops, and he's saying that there are no drops more worthy than these two. So the Imam says in the tradition that no drops are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted, than two. So there are two types of drops that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves more than anything else. The first one is a drop of blood shed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here, the meaning of a drop of blood can be, you know, taken to be a few things. One, the qurbani, or the sacrifice that is made for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we have other traditions that mention that Allah loves that blood as well. So that blood from the animal that is slaughtered for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qurbani, is also beloved. But what is more poignant in this particular tradition is that particular drop of blood that is shed in the battlefield, or that drop of blood that is shed in the defense of Islam. When a person becomes a martyr, a shaheed, in the defense of the religion of Islam. So this is what we can take from the first part. But the second one is clear. The second one, the Imam alayhi salam says that the second drop that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may even be more so than the first. Because it is this that causes that first one. At times, not all the time, obviously. And the second one is a teardrop shed by a servant in the darkness of the night solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. That there is no one there to see him. He is alone with his Lord. And he weeps. And the weeping is not out of fear. The weeping is, well, in the tradition it's not mentioned that it is out of fear. It may be out of fear. Out of happiness. Out of glee. Out of just being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the most, pure type of tear. When a person cries just by merely being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some difficult to understand, but there's no fear, there's no happiness, it's just the presence. That tears that fall from being in the presence of such greatness, of such grandeur, of such magnanimity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have those types of tears that flow from our eyes by being in the presence of His Majesty, inshallah, like the Imam alayhi salam. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of this program, I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter, and then we're going to listen to a recitation recited by that famous reciter, and after it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we're going to listen to a recitation by Brother Murtaza Sadat Fatemi. He is an Iranian reciter who was born in Mashhad, the city where the holy shrine of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam is located, in 1949. At the age of 7, he managed to recite the Noble Quran within 2 months. He was very interested in the recitation of the Noble Quran. When he was only 10 years old, he could recite the Quran in tahqiq form, through listening to Abdul Basit's cassettes. Brother Murtaza Sadat Fatemi took part in Quranic interpretation classes held in Mashhad by outstanding Quran teachers such as Ayatollah Khamenei and Martyr Hashemi, and there he recited the Noble Quran. He followed the style of Sheikh Mahmoud Al-Banna, Sheikh Menshawi, and Sheikh Abdul Basit, and he also followed the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. In 1982, he began reciting the Noble Quran in the holy shrine of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam in Mashhad, and in 1983, he managed to rank first in Islamic Republic of Iran's international Quran recitation competition. He has traveled to many countries, including Singapore, Malaysia, Bahrain, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Italy, Argentina, Pakistan, China, Kuwait, Thailand, and many other countries to recite the Noble Quran. He is a university professor, and he teaches Tajweed and Qira'ah. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 30 to 33 of Surah Fussilat, recited by Brother Murtaza Sadat Fatemi. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا
Dear listeners, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, and what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Fussilat, verses 30 to 33, recited by Brother Murtaza Sadat Fatemi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In verse 30 of Surah Fussilat, the first word is in, a noon with tashdeed. Whenever noon has a tashdeed, no matter why it has a tashdeed, whether it's because of idgham, or if it's a letter of, a shamsi letter, which is in a alif lam word, for example, an-nas, the noon becomes mushaddad because it's preceded by alif lam.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the noon originally has a tashdeed. In all cases, you have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. And in order to do that, you basically hold the sound of noon for the duration of two vowel counts. Inna. Inna alladhina qalu. Like this. And the word qalu, we have a qaf with an aliful mad. Qaf is a letter of istirla,
seeking higher position.
So what is a letter of istirla? A letter of istirla means that the root of the tongue is in a high position, is raised. Okay, whenever you pronounce a letter of istirla, the result is tafkhin. Letters of istirla have to be pharyngealized and velarized. Some of them are also velarized. Pharyngealized means that the root of the tongue goes up close to the pharynx, and we have this thick sound.
Yes.
And velarization means the back of the tongue also
goes up
toward the roof of the mouth, to the heart palate. Mm-hmm. Whenever a letter of istirla has an aliful med, you have to, in fact, apply the highest level of tafkhim. And how do you do that? In addition to raising the root of the tongue, you open the mouth
vertically.
Qalu.
Qalu.
Qalu. You don't say qalu. Qalu is incorrect. Even though you're still raising the root of the tongue, but your mouth is not opening vertically enough.
Practically, we can say you have to pronounce it with a full mouth.
Yes. Or we could say that the tongue is in a very high position. It's almost...
feeling the
as mouth. If it's sticking to the roof of the mouth. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever we have tarqiq, we don't have this.
Mm-hmm.
The roof of the tongue is not raised. The back of the tongue is not raised.
Yeah. And this is why we say that we pronounce a letter of tarqiq with an empty mouth.
With an empty mouth. Thumma. Again, we have a meme this time. Meme and noon are both letters of ghunna. They're two nasal consonants. And just like noon, we have to apply ghunna to meme whenever it has tashdeed, whenever it is mushaddad. So we have to hold the sound of the meme for two vowel counts nasally. Thumma. تَتَنَزَّلُ. The zay here has a tashdeed. You have to pronounce two zays. And the first one is sakin. The second one has a haraka. Of course, they merge. Or we could say we have a two zays. The first one is not released. You don't release the first one. You just hold it. After pronouncing the second one,
you release it.
تَتَنَزَّلُ. Okay? So, and you have to observe the timing as well. Za is a letter of rakhawa. It should be pronounced like a weak letter, not a strong or even a moderate letter. Okay? Mm-hmm. And by a strong and moderate, I mean the letters of shitta, which are strong. Okay?
Like ba.
Like ba, ta, ta, qa. These are letters of shitta.
They have the shortest timing.
Yes. You don't spend too much time on them, pronouncing them. But and the moderate letters are the letters of tawassut,
which
are in between rakhawa and shidda. They're not too soft and they're not too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go on to verse number 31. Ad-dunya. Here we have ilhar of nun sakina because the nun sakina is in one word. It's not in a phrase for us to apply, for example, idgham of nun sakina.
Yes, because there's a ya after
there's
this
a ya after the nun sakina. We don't apply idgham. We apply ilhar because the nun sakina is in one word and the ya is also in one word.
They both are in one word.
Yeah,
actually.
Both of them are in one word. This is more correct. And the final point is nuzulam min. Here we have ilram of nun sakina ma'al ghunna into min. Nuzulam min. And so we don't pronounce the nun sakina. Instead, we pronounce the next letter with tashdeed.
That is mim here.
And with ghunna.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadallilin khashi' أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا
Brothers and sisters, we reached this part of the supplication. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَأَسْأَلُكَ بِجُودِكَ أَن تُدْنِيَنِي مِنْ قُرْبِكَ And I ask you through your munificence to bring me nearer to your mercy. And to zi'ani shukrak, and to bless me with gratitude to you, and to lhimani dhikrak,
and to inspire me with your remembrance. Now, in these divine phrases, the commander of the believers, alayhi salam, asks Allah three positions which belong to his devoted servants, the positions of nearness, gratitude, and remembrance. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam had already asked the Almighty Allah to be near to him through his remembrance. Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik. So, in this part, Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking the Almighty Allah these positions. One of them is remembrance. Obtaining these three positions is undoubtedly not possible but through Almighty Allah's benevolence and His mercy. So, if He subhanahu wa ta'ala does not provide benefits and interests to gain to His devotee servants and means for gaining these heavenly positions and help him not in eliminating dark veils and reaching light ones, the servant would not be able to reach these positions. And that is why the supplicant asks His munificence and His mercy so that these attributes of Allah would be apprehended in his life in order to help him reach heavenly positions. So that's why Imam alayhi salam, the commander of the believers, is asking these three divine positions belonging to his devoted servants through munificence and mercy of the Almighty Allah. For understanding just this small aspect of Almighty Allah's munificence and mercy and their effect on human life, it is deserved to have a look at some phrases from the valuable Arafah supplication of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I assume we will understand that by resorting to Almighty Allah's mercy and ignoring any other worldly sources, we can gain spiritual positions if we are sincere in our intentions.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in one part of Arafah supplication, says, فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَالشُّكْرِ يَا مَنْ أَقَالَ عَثْرَتِي. Therefore, praise is for thee, and also gratitude, O he who overlooked my lapses, وَنَفَّسَ كُرْبَتِي, and relieved me from anxiety and grief. Imam continues, you are the one who answered to my call, covered up my shortcomings, exempted me from the consequences of my wrongdoing. You are the one that let me have that which I asked for and helped me to get the better of my adversary. And how many of the bounties, favors, and blessings I asked for and got cannot be counted. O my Lord Master, Thou it is who bestowed benefits and overwhelmed with bounties, granted favors and treated with kindness, gave more and more, brought to fullness, and made available means of sustenance, and rendered things and events convenient and useful to me. It is in this very part that Imam alayhi salam says, "Anta alladhi an'amt, anta alladhi ahsant, anta alladhi ajmalt, anta alladhi afdalt, anta alladhi akmalt, anta alladhi razaqt." And this continues. You are the one who relieved me. You are the one who gave me strength and influence. You are the one who allowed me to take refuge in thy sanctuary. You are the one who arranged supplies adequate to my wants. You are the one who showed the right path. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ دَائِمًا وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ وَاصِبًا أَبَدًا. At the end, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Thou gives blessings and high rewards, so praise is for thee forever. Thanks are for thee in unbroken succession till eternity. These are the kinds of words and phrases coming out of the mouth of an infallible that has truly understood the true meaning of munificence and mercy of the Almighty Allah. These are from this kind of perspective. We'll talk about this more in the next program, inshallah. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام ألا وإن من البلاء الفاقة وأشد من الفاقة مرض البدن وأشد من مرض البدن مرض القلب ألا وإن من صحة البدن تقوى القلب.
Imam Ali said, "Beware that destitution is a calamity, but worse than destitution is ailment of the body, while worse than bodily ailment is the disease of the heart. Beware that plenty of wealth is a blessing, but better than plenty of wealth is the health of the body, while still better than the health of the body is the chastity of the heart."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's two